mayor and council. I was told once by a general officer when I completed a committee work when I was chair that after we've done that successfully, his comments were that it's very important that you have excellent people on the committee to make it a success. And then he added, it's doubly important if you have a weak chair. So I didn't get a big head over that. But that's a segue into complimenting my staff that, Mr. Baird, you assigned, I say staff, my committee. And they are mostly here tonight, but they were Bev Wingate, Bill Grant, Bill Grossman, Bob Matthews, Fran Hughes, and Gordon Jackson. They work very well together and very well for the city. And they need to be complimented for that. Also, would take a second to compliment the staff, your city staff that worked with us. They were very cooperative, very helpful. And in fact, we held 2 meetings with them during our committee process rather than us sending them a paper and then emailing back. We actually sat down and talked over our progress as we went through it. It was very helpful. We looked at the overlay district. All of you are, I'm sure, aware that the overlay district was created as a result of the DHA's concern that we were fighting the same battle over and over again, principally in the Dunwoody Village complex. So we had Urban Collage, a company, a corporation, to develop some strict guidelines, strict code that we, in fact, had passed by the CAB. So that there were certain things they could not say that they didn't have the rules to follow. And therefore, it was a benefit to the DHA in trying to keep Dunwoody Village and this whole complex together. In the process, and the first point I want to talk about is we divided the committee into several parts. And one of the things we looked at is the boundaries. Then we looked at architecture and streetscape, and we looked at a couple other things that I'll get to. Let me initially talk about a companion to this. Is, Gordon, you want to help me?
Sure.
This doesn't have a vacuum to it. When they developed this thing, they created a map. Unfortunately, we talked to them off the map about what we wanted to include, and in fact what we intended to include in the map for the overlay district was O&I and commercial, nothing else. So a member of the DHA, the committee that worked on this, actually walked the perimeter to be sure we didn't overlap into residential areas. We made a mistake. It was an oversight. We did not discuss the fact that this church, even though it's zoned R150, which is residential, was included, and it was just an omission. Nobody caught it until after it was designed. To help you, and you're sitting in that in a building on that property,
we see it.
It's this part right here. And so we're proposing that be removed from the overlay district. Thank you, Gordon. The reason we do is because if you read through the overlay district restraints or controls, they're designed exclusively for O&I and commercial. They have nothing to do with residential or churches or any other kind of organization other than something in O&I and the commercial. So in fact, if this church had not built these 2 buildings and tried to do it under the overlay district, we'd have a 2-story office building here instead of what we have. So we recommend that be withdrawn. Now, unfortunately, according to Jennifer Peterson, that has to go through a rezoning process, which is laborious, and that's what it is. So we recommend that. The second thing, another thing we looked at, and I'm not going to bring it up tonight, is when Mayor Wright asked us to look at this, he also asked us, as an aside, to look at adopt-a-spot. Adopt-a-spot is areas that are controlled by the city, intersections, medians, and places like that were not landscaped. And the CAB wasn't taking care of them, so Bill Grant graciously has most of them, not all of them, but he took it upon himself to volunteer and landscape, quite a few. I'm not going to ask him how many right now, but that's quite a few that he's helped landscape. And there are others. There are civic organizations that do the same thing. We have already presented that to the staff, and it's awaiting their continued review, and then they'll bring it forward when they think it's appropriate. But what we are recommending, rather than it be done just in the overlay district, we're recommending that be done citywide. And because there's a lot of spots that are not in the overlay district that are prime targets for not only the ones that are currently being landscaped, but there's others that are good targets to have landscaping done. The irony is, it'll save the city money, and at the same time, make Dunwoody more attractive. Okay, let's talk about the overlay district that you've got in your hand. I'm going to quickly review what we attempted to do. As I said, what the Urban Collage did, we think was a good job, but it needed updating. Our objective in doing some wordsmithing, some of it a little bit more detail, we added as an objective more green space, less blacktop, more attractive, and pedestrian friendly. We changed the definition that actually has been used and is not one, and that's Williamsburg. There is no such thing as Williamsburg style, Williamsburg architecture. People have called it that. In fact, the guy that built Dunwoody Village and then shops at Dunwoody called it Williamsburg, but there's no such thing. You ask any architect and he'll say there's no such thing. So rather than people continuing to say, well, this is Williamsburg, therefore, if you've ever been to Williamsburg, this is not what Williamsburg looks like. I've been there several times. My wife spent some money there. So we've come up with it. Now, there is such a thing as a Williamsburg paint palette. Martin Sr., those of you that nod your head know what I'm talking about. But that's just the paint colors. And there are earth tones and things like that. And we still use that in there. The idea is to keep it more subdued rather than bright city lights. So we've changed that definition of its style to pre-1900 Mid-Atlantic American Colonial. Now that sounds to you and me sort of weird. Guess what? We ran it by some architects. They understand exactly what it is. And developers understand. So that's the people we need to know what to do when they, if you tell them you got to stay within Williamsburg, they don't know, but they do know this. So that's a style change. We better define materials and colors, and we've added stone. There was no stone allowed. As you know, there's a lot of great looking buildings in Dunwoody that have stone as a part of their exterior. We better define roofs and shingles, and we've gotten rid of mansard roofs. We refined massing, especially porches and unbroken facades. We broadened door design and color, and better defined window sizes. Ironically, some of the window sizes were non-standard, and we've standardized those. Why add a cost that is not necessary? This is very important. Streetscape and pedestrian walkways were relayed out. We define trees and lights and furniture, so it makes logic, and there's a lot of street trees involved in this. We require plantings in front of buildings. We have more landscaping and professional design. We're asking that the city staff especially look hard to reduce the requirement for the amount of parking. To include looking at ways to combine different businesses within the same shopping area. If some are morning and some are evenings, take that into account. We put furniture at building walkways. We're trying to make it pedestrian friendly, as I said. We did not address signage. We felt that's more appropriate to save until we address the city signage at large. We asked to create a design review committee. The idea with this committee would look specifically at the overlay district. And lastly, we want to open the door for creative proposal radically different than Rather, let me rephrase that. A lot of people have thought over the years, we're going to have to, I say we, to make Dunwoody Village or Shops of Dunwoody or Dunwoody Hall, to make them economically feasible to have a major renovation. That some design, some developer design team is going to have to come in and take a look at it. And they may not be able to stay with just two stores. There may be a three-store concept and so forth. We put a paragraph in so they have that option to come to the city. And then, of course, to this design review committee. And what we did was, rather than trying to envision 5 years out, 10 years out, what that would be, well, we're not designers. Furthermore, we don't know what the marketplace is going to be 4, 5, 10 years from now. So we put a paragraph in. It's the last paragraph in there. It gives the option for somebody to come make a proposal. And what we did was we put in some minimal but very strict requirements about what would have to be done. And I will point that out to you if you turn to your last page. They are not numbered, but it is the last page. One, they would continue to use the 1900 Mid-Atlantic American colonial architecture, meaning the facade and the streetscape and things like that would be essentially the same. So you wouldn't get a spaceship in the middle of Dunwood, and we don't intend that. We would limit the height of any proposed change coming in would be 5 stories. However, we did a step down for the last 100 feet between the more than two-story building and residential that surround it, so that they could not build that three to five. They could not build it within 100 feet of the property line with the residential that surrounds the property. And existing buffers would be honored, and they would abide by all other regulations, including the zoning. So what we did was, we thought it would be appropriate to leave an outlet. Let some imaginative developer and his architect take a stab at it, but we put some constraints around it so they wouldn't come in. But the last thing I'd like to see is some architect, like the one that gave us the first design for Peachtree Charter. If any of y'all saw that, you know how ugly that was. That's my term. The one we've got now is a pretty scoop. So sometimes architects are not your best friend, but that's why we put constraints around it. With that, I'll ask for your comments and questions.
I'll kick it off just to thank you and your committee very much for all the hard work and time that you put into it, and expertise, nonetheless. I know it's a labor of love, and on behalf of this council, thank you very much for doing so. And I'll start down with Robert.
Bill, I'll echo his thanks. Looks like you guys put a lot of work into this. I appreciate that. I guess my first question really is a process question. It's my understanding that all of these changes are changing to our zoning laws, and therefore this is going to go to the community council and then to the zoning board and then come back to us for a vote. Am I right about that?
Jennifer, you'll have to ask staff about that.
Yes, you're correct. One of the elements of the city staff report is that if you wish for this to continue moving forward for further consideration, you would direct staff to initiate that text amendment. That this comes back to some language in the code. There's only specific groups of people that can say, we want to consider changing the code, and this group is one of them. Staff doesn't have that authority, and task force doesn't have that authority. So if you want this to move forward through the official process, so you can take a vote at the end of it of yes or no, you would direct us to start making those changes. It's not a vote, it's just direction.
So with that in mind, should we be picking this apart tonight? I mean, is this the place and the venue for us to be asking specific questions about this sentence or that sentence, or ought we wait for it to come back to us? Help me figure out what the right approach is here.
I feel you can do both. Obviously, Brian can jump over the top of me if he wants to. Discussion for the sake of further enlightenment and direction of staff to look into further options, absolutely appropriate. You may want to hesitate on giving, yes, I'll vote for this, no, I won't vote for this, because we're not in the public hearing process.
All right. Thank you. And so now let me ask Bill a question. Help me understand the design review committee. That's the one piece of this that I had the biggest questions about. Now, really, I think it comes down to two questions. The first is, how do you see this design review committee operating vis-a-vis the DHA? In other words, are we creating two design reviews? And second, do we see this design review committee as an advisory group or as an approval group whose approval is required for anybody to move forward in the process?
This would be to answer one question.
Okay, yeah.
I give my personal opinion on DHA. I still see DHA as being an active participant. And hopefully they would be, the developers would be directed to, again, go before them and let them take a look at it. Recall that it was said before this council that unlike a government or quasi-government committee, you must follow the law, and or in this case, code. The DHA is not a government. It's not a 501c3. So the DHA, to use a term I coined, I'm sure it's been said before, DHA can look a developer in the eye and say, that's ugly. You can't say that, nor can a design review committee or somebody else. So I would see, and the DHA has made a lot of headway over perimeter as well as within the Dunwoody community, has made a lot of headway using that approach because they could not get a letter saying that we liked their product. Not that it was an official requirement, they get it, but they understood the system that the DHA would had to be included. So they came to us, and we got a lot of changes for the good because we had that prestige within the community. Now, the Design Review Committee would be a quasi-governmental body, be appointed by, as I understand it, Jennifer, you can correct me if I'm wrong, would be appointed by the mayor with the council input.
Nothing quasi about it. It is.
Exactly.
We appoint it, it's us.
No, it wouldn't be the city council. That
right, but it is it's a government body.
That's correct. Now, our intent was that if somebody decided that they wanted to be reviewed, we wanted the design review committee to look at it. And then if they came and said, well, we want an exception to this part of the code. We want 5 more feet. Let's just throw something in the air. We want different color shingles than you. And the design review committee would look at it and then give it up or down. We would hope that in most cases they'd give it down because this is a very extensive, very detailed code that we don't want to start varying from. I say we, as the committee, we want to. So the design review committee would be another step that a developer could go to if they weren't happy with the way the, they would come to the design review committee to ask for an exception. We anticipate since y'all would be appointing them, you'd get people that would be very conservative in authorizing or suggesting any changes as it came forward through the process.
But, I mean, is this, if the design review committee created a no, does that stop the process? Does that?
No. You stop the process, ultimately.
Okay.
Dean?
I'd also like to echo Ken's remarks about what y'all put in this thing. Thank you, Bill, for doing that. Just a couple of comments and one question. I think we've talked a lot on this council about the look and feel that we have at Perimeter Center. And I think some of that you've incorporated in some of the styles and things that you have in here. But I believe my vision of Dunwoody Village is that you're going to be able to have the same look and feel coming from Perimeter Center up as for Dunwoody to having connectivity into Dunwoody Village and have light posts, nice decorative lights, benches, garbage cans, all these things. And I think it would be very nice if we could have the same look and feel in both locations that relates to those kind of things.
They're called for, they are called for. And it, when you read the details, you'll find that it does have light poles designed so that they are uniform. They have street trees, they have benches. Make it pedestrian friendly, yes.
I think
not on the same scale. Excuse me to interrupt, it's not on the same scale, obviously.
Yeah, I think, you know, having a connectivity between those two, I think is something we want to do, even at some point in time, figure out some way to have traffic to and from in some kind of basis, whether it be just a bus that looks like a train or something of that nature, traveling back and forth, just connected to The other thing is, as I read through this, I was a little bit concerned when I saw the height restriction being 35 feet, but when I got to the last paragraph and saw that you did have some variances there, I have a vision of redoing totally redoing Dunwoody Village at some point in the future. And I think economically to do that, at least to the people that I've talked to that have knowledge of this far greater than I do, it's going to take at least a four-story building to do that, where you have retail shops on one floor, you have offices on the second floor, and you have people living on the third and fourth floor. And it's going to take that kind of density to make it feasible to redevelop Dunwoody Village. But I think in doing that, we can create a livable, workable, walkable, bikeable community that I think would add value to the community. And I think, you know, you've addressed that issue in your last paragraph there. And I don't have any questions about what I thought was going to be a question, the 35-foot restrictions, now that you put that in there.
Manny? First of all, thanks again, Bill. I told Marty you got a lot more time on your hands than she thought you had, so you'd be busy right now. Secondly, I wonder when you talked about trees, if you all looked at the root structure of trees, so that the trees that you were recommending, as you see, you know, on Dunwoody Parkway Village, Brewster Street, as I call it, you know, the great streets are being rooted up by the roots of the trees. Right? Did you look at that at all?
Yes, we did. And if you want any details, I'm going to call my associate here, Bill Grant, because he's the one that picked the trees. Let me add that the city staff, who will also talk about some recommendations, they have one of those is to expand the number of types of trees. But having said that, there's been a lot of research in what are the best type of trees for street trees. If you go all over the country, you'll find streets and sidewalks and curbs that are buckling because the wrong trees were put in. For example, in our parking lot here, we put silver maples in one time. Bad choice. We now went to red maples, just as pretty, but they don't have the root problem. And the same thing with the trees we proposed in here, but we have no objections to adding a few to get more variety of the types of street trees. But yes, they are fixed. Is that in line?
Thank you. That's a very big point, is that, you know, ruination of streets around and the sidewalks is just unbelievable. I mean, you can do everything you want, and it's just not going to help. I agree with Danny on the lights, you know, that not only on back in the residential areas, but on the main drags, I'd love to see a commonality of lights that match what the PCID has to show everybody that, quote unquote, not only see the sign, but you also have, you know, that's done way.
Let me point out something we've done, and it's a subtle something, but we have used the same basic light fixtures, and we've used a little different bench, but the same basic bench. We've used trash receptacles and so on. Fundamental difference, though, is this PCID, and I think an error, has put the sitting area backing up to the road. So you're sitting immediately on the road. Here's the traffic, and here's the bench. And nobody feels comfortable doing that. And so in long term, they'll get a much lower usage of their benches. What we've done is reverse that process. We sure first said there has to be a 3-foot strip, either grass or mondo grass. Then we got an 8-foot of a sidewalk. Then we had a sitting area. So we're already 10 feet or 12 feet back. So we're turning the people around. Instead of them facing back this way with the back of the traffic, which is kind of scary, we turn around and face it this way. So what we've done is take that basic thing and reversed it. But it's the same idea. My guess is someday they'll reverse theirs. And by the way, that means the trees go back here. They put their trees right there. Right on the roof. Aggravated problem.
Talk about the difference in the street light height here versus over there.
Yeah, well, there. Okay. They got a 15-foot layer of lights, and then they go up, and they got a 35-foot layer of lights. So you go down, what is it called, the Marriott's on Dunwoody Park? What is it? Right next to Barnes Station, whatever that is.
Perimeter Center.
You might as well be on 285. There is more light down there than daytime. We're much softer. Lower lights. You know, we're pedestrian friendly is the right way to put it. I sell stuff up. If I can
I make one on
you want to show you?
No, of course. You do much better than that.
I think the design review process is the crucial process. Mm. You can make all the rules in the world, but if you don't do the design review, you really don't have anything. And I think the process has got to be done by people who, you know, have the talent, have the know-how to do it. And I think it's, you know, everything should be looked at. You can have design review process, and you can wind up at the BP station. Okay, it was theoretically conforming. It's awful. Okay, Randy Mendowski, I hope Randy's not here. You know, he started out with something great, but, you know, he went the other direction. The point is, that process is very important. I think it does two things, though. It is a review that says this is good or bad, and it's interpreting the rules with qualifications. The second thing it does, and I think it has to do it this way, view it as the help desk. You know, it's very easy for somebody to propose something. It's very hard for somebody to fix something. And I think the design review has to be in such a way that they can help them get to the right place. You know, there's a right way to build a dormer, and there's a wrong way to build a dormer. But it's really easy to change it if the help desk is here to help. Now, shut up.
Yeah, well, you kind of took the wind out of the next question then, Joe, because I was going to, you know, the design review board, since we've got a community council, we've got a zoning board, we've got a variance board. I was wondering if we weren't duplicating the process somewhat here.
I don't think so, because I think this is so important. You know, I never should have stood up. We've got an opportunity to do something really neat. Okay? It started out with a great concept, and what we've done is broaden. Because the truth of the matter is, this concept we originally had not only was not architectural, but more importantly, it didn't include the farmhouse, didn't include the railroad house, didn't include the McDonald's house. All of those fell out of the spectrum. What we've done is broaden it, so it's a much more real, traditional kind of community. And I think the pedestrian thing is very important. It's, I don't think that we're restraining at all. I think we're going completely the opposite of it and trying to create something that is, you know, it's going to take 25 years. But 25 years from now, it would be sensational.
I might make a point, if I could, to add on to that. Remember this, I'm going to your point about the transition. This overlay district is intended to manage, if I may use that term, this area. There's nothing wrong with making it a transition so that it doesn't look like a different world when you come from Peru and Mall. But that's a commercial office complex over there with a lot of other people. And that's not what this is. So we want to be very careful. We don't try to change, this is my opinion now, try to change the overlay district to make it look more like Peru and Center. What we ought to do is maintain this as a rather unique, yet by broadening some of these things, it's, to use Councilman Wittenstein's comment one time, is it transportable to other areas in Dunwoody? Yes, it is, with modification. But we might want to modify those. The other point I would make is, unlike some communities around the United States that have done that, used overlay, there's Stonecrest, for example. They created an overlay district, but they started almost with a blank palette down there. We didn't start with a blank palette here, so it takes time, as Bill said, to bring the ones that already had the grandfather businesses and offices. Eventually they will, but if we hold true to our message that we presented here, I think we can get there.
Yeah. I appreciate the efforts in which you've worked on this. This is going to be a long process. It's not going to happen overnight. It's got to go through the complete rezoning process. I'm just wondering if we're putting the horse before the cart in the sense of the comprehensive land use plan. We're going to be putting that together this year, as well as the transportation plan, and I'm wondering if this is really needed at this point, or should we wait for the comprehensive land use plan to come first? Second point is the exceptions. I'm concerned about the ability for a small board to grant exceptions and make it very hard for code enforcement to try to enforce the codes in which they're written. Again, I appreciate the efforts being put into this, and I'm looking forward to seeing the way it ends up, but I just know it won't happen tonight.
Any other questions for Bill?
Any?
I think the staff has a...
Yeah, I'm going to call them next.
Okay. Any other questions for Bill?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill and Jennifer.
Thank you very much. We did meet with the task force on two different occasions to go over their thoughts and ideas and to share our own as well. Generally, we think it's great. It adds a very high level of detail. It provides a good level of clarity. And I've worked in a bunch of communities where you're trying to explain to an architect what Williamsburg looks like. So I'm all for this. We had two differences of opinion, I guess, with the task force. We talked about this openly. We would suggest some additional trees added to that list. And should you request that this move forward, we will do that research and add that to this proposal before it turns to you for a vote. The other was the issue of the design review board or committee, whichever you see fit. Wholeheartedly agree that whatever type of board it may be it an advisory board, be it a decision-making board, be it mandatory, or be it an exception board, the professional qualifications of the people on the board, in my experience, are what makes that board work. If you have people that are architects, are engineers, are landscape architects, so they thoroughly understand why they're asking an applicant to make a change, and the repercussions of that change are really what that makes that board work. I think Roswell is an excellent example of that that I worked with for years. The other element is, as you read this code, you're going to find that it is written in exquisite detail, and it is also written in a shall not manner. So when you write something that's shall or shall not, you either need it or you don't. So to put something that you either meet the qualification or you don't meet the qualification, and then you put it in front of a board that says, maybe, you could get yourself in a little bit of trouble there. So our recommendation is that to make the design review board the exception board. So if you've got something that is compliant with the majority of the regulations for the overlay, but they'd like to tweak the paint color, or they'd like to use a slightly different depth on the lap siding, or they'd like to put a different kind of roof line on there that's beyond the code but could be appropriate for the area, this would be a board with a unique level of qualification to make that call, rather than just treating it as a variance that would go to the Board of Zoning Appeals and be treated the same as a retaining wall or a setback variance or a parking variance. So it would put a fine level of detail to a group that has the eye for that fine level of detail. So those are our only two recommendations. And again, should council direct us to move this forward, we would ask for directions on two different points. One is the text amendment, one is the rezoning request, and the calendar is detailed in the bottom paragraph of the report.
All right, thank you, Jennifer. I'll start off. Questions for you. The staff recommendations are design review board exception, just as you had stated. I know one of the issues with DeKalb County during the process of getting overlay in place, they adopted it for a couple other communities, so it's a great thing, and it was a long process, but it seemed to me during implementation the flaw was there was no oversight. Mm-hmm. So you would see, here's the law, as you said, then something would be done, and everybody's gone. Mm-hmm. And then it just, that's that. You know, things are over. I guess my only question is, are you confident, you and your staff, this wouldn't be an overload to manage an overlay or set of overlays that are different than our standard code for the rest of Dunwoody? I mean, is that a manageable process? Would you need help? It sounds like you wouldn't, but I just want to confirm.
That's what we have right now. We have the overlay in place. It has enhanced design standards, and we administrate it within the office without board approval or commission. This would just be, honestly, it would really kind of be helpful from a staff perspective, because it has a higher level of detail that makes it really clear to the development community and to staff what makes the cut and what doesn't.
All right, thanks. Questions for Jennifer? I'll start down here.
Jennifer, kind of a slow learner. Would you repeat what your recommendation was for the exact job of the design review board?
We would recommend making a design review board that has some professional qualifications to sit on that board. That board would be appointed by mayor and council. We would recommend that board hears exceptions to these design standards within the overlay code, rather than them being treated as a variance that would have to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals. The reason for that is twofold. One is what I've said earlier, of that fine level of detail being heard by a group of people that are trained for that high level of detail. The other element is efficiency. If you have a development that you write a code that's very specific, and then you have a development that meets the code, cut them loose, get them through the process, get them administratively reviewed, get them a permit, get them under construction. If you ask any developer or contractor, the most expensive thing in the development process is waiting. So if you have a code that you're comfortable with, if somebody needs it, have them move out.
Any follow-up? Phil, did your committee, in converse with the staff, talk about using this in other locations in the city of Dunwoody? And did you look at any specific locations?
No, we didn't, because our blinders were put on about, but we did talk about it. And that's what I mentioned earlier. Our hope is that eventually, and I'm not talking about next week, but I'm on another committee right now, I don't know the statement. But eventually we could, if council suggests or wants, we could take, say, the Williamsburg Kroger Shopping Center area, Orchard Park area. We could make that an overlay district. Those are examples. I'm not suggesting that one. We could make Georgetown an overlay district. If we wanted to take the existing buildings there and try to figure out how to modify, this would have to be modified. They'd take a committee sitting down and rather than retuning or one in place, we'd have to start from scratch. But we've got a good vehicle to do so. So we could transport it to other areas if you so did. That was the original intent.
Adrian?
You said that you're going to now have the docking site all throughout the city?
I said we proposed that to staff. Richard Meehan has it, but I won't call him up because he wasn't asked to. But he does have a paper on that that's as close to legal as we can make it. But of course, it's up to him to implement it.
We have some good adopt and ugly
spots. Well, then, I told him I would get with him, and the committee, all of whom have lived here quite a while, are aware of several spots that would be candidates. But, of course, we would not restrict it to those. He would be able to find his own. So, but, yes, we think the adopt a spot idea has a lot of merit, and it would literally save the city money at the same time making the city more beautiful.
And we have one more. Just a quick question. Girl Scouts.
The children are coming. They're selling cookies.
I like the thin mints.
Could this, you said, you know, you'd have to maybe start over. Couldn't it just be generally tweaked for other places within the city to put in? Or is it that specific for this area? You don't think so?
I don't know how much tweaking until we didn't look at it. It would have to be tweaked, though. Because you could, I'm Bill Robinson now, not committee talk. You could take what was designed around Dunwoody Village, although it's very specific, but it was designed about what Dunwoody Village had. But if you went to Georgetown, you might not want to build one that's so radically different that nothing down there would fit into it. But you'd have to look at that. Beyond that, I'm saying you could create them. How much of this you could transport, Jennifer may be able to tell you, having been in the city for several months now, she might be able to tell you how transportable it would be. I'm saying it could be done. I just don't know how much work would be involved.
Jennifer?
Thank you. Perfect segue. yes, I can actually tie your question back to Councilman Hennigan's comment earlier on in the comprehensive planning process. The way the state requires you to do a comprehensive planning process is you look at specific nodes in your community and you create a vision for those nodes. So in my mind, as a professional, you are perfectly set up to take all of these unique areas in your community, set the vision for that unique area, and then say, okay, we're set up now to create regulations and design guidelines for that area. So the question kind of comes back to, if your goal is to recreate the look of Dunwoody Village throughout the city, then it would be appropriate to take these guidelines and apply it in many places over the city. If your goal of the overlay is to create a unique node, then you want to create unique standards.
Thank you. And I'll call a member of the audience here, Gordon Jackson. Do you want to speak to this? Because I know that your folks at DHA have been working on something.
Not very accustomed to public speaking. First of all,
two minutes, by the way.
Give him 90 seconds, he'll go to.
Right. I would simply say that as part of the committee and having an opportunity to work through this, and having been part of the committee that met with Jennifer on a lot of occasions as well, I think that this is a good step in exactly the right direction, because it does set an overall framework. And we have talked for some time prior to the city even coming in that there has to be a vision for the city of Dunwoody. And I don't think that that necessarily means that the vision for the entire city of Dunwoody is one vision. There can be parts about the city. The nice thing, I think, about what we have right now in the revision of the overlay district code is that it can be tweaked a little to recognize differences in the various nodes around the city. From our study, from our committees at VHA right now, as I know you've heard me say, we've got something like 9 different committees for different nodes around the city. And when we look at development, those are not looked at exactly the same, even though in our discussions we have taken some of the overlay district code back to some of the other nodes and said, because of this, sidewalks and some of those kinds of things, and looked at applying it to development in some of the other nodes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they would have looked exactly the same. I think in the comprehensive plan work that will be coming up and in the process for that, having the ability to decide what your nodes should look like and then feeding the comprehensive plan process is a good process, because if the neighborhoods are involved in establishing what the nodes themselves will look like, in assisting that process, then I think it will benefit the city overall. I don't know if that necessarily answers your question, but from DHA standpoint, I think that this is a sort of a continuation of what we have been doing in looking at the city overall, recognizing what's in the perimeter area, absolutely, because we have looked at their development standards, and taking that then to come up with a more unified code across the board, because what it does give you is that even if you have multiple overlay districts and they are tweaked a little, there still is a strong base among all of those, so there's a lot of commonality. So it's not going to chase staff all around the block trying to figure out which overlay district code you're dealing with or what the differences are. If you have vast differences, then you have mishmash, you've got a big problem. But I think in what we would be expecting would be something that would be a good base code, which might have a few changes in it here and there.
All right, great. Thank you, Gordon.
Question for Jennifer. Councilman Hennigan asked the question about whether or not it makes sense to do this before we do the comprehensive plan. The earliest we would see this back here is in June.
Yes, sir.
We're presumably going to have in January, February, something like that, we're going to have a comprehensive plan to look at. Does it make sense to do this now, or do this in June, and then come back 6 months, 8 months later, and do the master plan, or is this something we ought to just roll into the comprehensive planning process?
You can certainly do it either way, and there's really no harm done. The fact that this is an existing regulation that we're modifying, you've already established the standard, and this is just an amendment to that. As far as going out into other sections of the world to create an overlay, staff's perspective would be based upon what vision, and that's where you rely on your comprehensive plan. You already have the DeKalb County comprehensive plan that we've adopted and these existing regulations to lay out that vision that we're just tweaking a little bit.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for Jennifer or Bill?
Can we suggest that perhaps it's worth taking this to the community council and beginning to get community input on this? Is that a reasonable thing for us to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good suggestion.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Bill. All right, moving on. Mr. Huffman.